Chapter 23. Diabolical Noose. It would be discovered, Inkeri Margaster warned Chari Hunsrin, when the drow trader suggested a demonic phylactery for Lord Neverember. He is no minor player in this and is being watched closely by many rivals. Without that control, how will he be? Chari asked. Compliant, Inkeri assured her. Daggled Neverember cares only for Daggled Neverember. He will see the gain to himself in his precious Neverwinter City, and so he will remain silent on the matter. He wishes nothing more than to have King Brunner and his dwarves expelled from the land. He was called by many the Protector, Chari reminded her. How does one gain such a title if he is as you say? Oh, Daggled did battle to save others. His title is well earned. Altruistic, yes? Yes, Inkeri said. And no, for he cares only for the glory that such actions give to him. Not all acts of charity are done to serve others, and not all acts of heroism are done for the benefit of others. Sure, they are grand words, charity, heroism, altruism, but the benefits of having these descriptions attached to oneself cannot be underestimated, and that's all he cares about. For dear Daggled, such glory is his greatest motivation. Chari Hunsrin spent a few moments digesting that. The words Inkeri was describing were anathema to drow society. They didn't even have such words in their language, other than somewhat synonymous insults offered to fools who hurt themselves for the sake of others. Still, she argued, surely Lord Neverember will fear that the noose will turn to him after it has so tightened about the realms of King Brunner. Inkeri Margaster laughed at that. You give Lord Neverember too much credit, I fear, or perhaps not enough. Dear Daggled trusts my loyalty, and perhaps that is not displaced. He is a valuable ally, and knows where the gold is buried. So much gold. You trust that he will not hinder you? She laughed again. He will cover our movements as we tighten the noose about Gontalgrim, and render King Brunner into the irrelevance he so richly deserves. By the time the other lords of Waterdeep even know of trouble in the crags, the halfling town will be aflame, and the dwarves will be caught in their filthy hole. And the Waterdeep lords will not understand what has caused it all, and almost assuredly won't care for more beyond their own bottom lines anyway. And in the ensuing chaos there, King Brunner will be pressed from below, Chari Hunsrin said, voicing the rest of the plan. His friends have made great enemies in Menzel Berenzon, and they will arrive soon enough to bolster your efforts. Promises, so many promises, Inkeri Margaster said with a chuckle. You ask me to take a great risk, and when all is going so well, yet you get to wait before taking action. Tighten the noose, Chari Hunsrin said, and we will do our part. And then your Hunsrin warriors and priestesses will march beside us, all for the glory of Lolf. Chari hesitated, and Inkeri laughed at her. So anxious to throw others into battle, Inkeri remarked. I had thought demons anxious for such chaos, Chari returned. Do you not share your form with Barlgura? Barlgura, who serves Demogorgon, Inkeri confirmed, tapping her precious necklace, perhaps the most powerful of the phylacteries the Hunsrins had brought to the surface, and thus is not particularly fond of the drow at this time, as he awaits his master's reconstitution in the swirl of the abyssal sludge. He is angry with some drow, Chari quickly corrected. Draw the lines accordingly in your calculations, my friend. I am not your friend. My client, then. Have I not served you well? Have I not brought unimagined power to House Margaster? At what price, I wonder, Inkeri mused. Besides, Chari said, rushing the conversation back to the topic at hand, King Brunner's closest ally is the heretical instrument who destroyed the material form of Demogorgon, along with those who facilitated that catastrophe. My allies are no friends of that group. Inkeri Margaster assumed a coy pose, tap-tapping her long and delicate finger against her sharp chin and saying, as if she was intrigued but not convinced. Do you think you will find a better opportunity, Chari asked, ever? A measured strike, Inkeri agreed. We will wound the halflings, perhaps mortally, and seal the tunnel connecting their village to King Bruna's realm. And you will be better situated for it, Chari promised. Inkeri laughed again, then conceded the point with a nod and turned away, moving back along the tunnel to the secret entrance that would take her to the wine cellars of House Margaster. Chari moved off the other way, to the small secret chamber where a House Hunsrin wizard waited to magically teleport her back to Menzo Berenzon. She nearly fell back out of the room as she stepped over the threshold of the concealed door, though, to find that the wizard was not alone. He stood with Ildstron Melarn, and worse, Matron Jindia sat on a magical disk of energy off to the side. "You did well, priestess, but your hesitation was as transparent as your matron's cowardice," Matron Jindia said, getting it right out in the open that she had magically eavesdropped on Chari's meeting with Inkeri. Chari thought herself incredibly stupid at that moment. Why hadn't she erected defenses against such clairaudience? "I don't blame Matron Shakti, nor will I punish her," Matron Jindia went on, and Chari fell back a step, surprised that the matron of House Malarn would even suggest such a thing. "That will be for Lolth to determine," Matron Jindia explained. As Chari continued to stare incredulously, the other woman began to laugh. "It is such a beautiful thing, don't you see?" Matron Jindia explained, her nostrils flaring, her eyes widening with excitement. "Look past simple events and view the longer perspective." "What do you mean?" Chari dared to ask. "Can you not understand? This is why I was not allowed to die at the hands of the heretics. This is the long play of Lolth." Chari stumbled over a few words, not quite sure where to even begin. Matron Jindia was not allowed to die. What did that even mean? "I should have been killed in the assassinations rendered upon my house," Matron Jindia explained, seeing the unasked question on Chari's face. "They had me dead, and yet I live. They murdered a number of my priestesses, and yet all but one are alive once again by the grace of Lolth. Yes, my daughter is no more, but that, too, do you not see, is the glorious Spider Queen's way of testing my devotion. And now she understands the truth of that, and questions not my actions, and I have come to see the long play she has put in place." "I do not understand," Chari Hunsrin admitted. "That does not surprise me. So listen well. Because of her inaction on the matter, the return of Zakdafane, the heretic's father, will bring down Matron Mother Bayenri," Matron Jindia was happy to explain. "With my abyssal retrievers, also gifts of Lady Lolth, I will bring the stolen soul, Zakdafane, to Menzo Berenzon to face his judgment. Aye, indeed, I will bring him to the City of Spiders, dead or in chains, and will gather his worthless son with him." "That vendetta has been declared ended by Matron Mother Bayenri," Chari offered. "And she is wrong, woefully wrong. Lolth faced Evenel is—" "Another test of our devotion and nothing more," Matron Jindia snapped, coming forward, and in doing so driving Chari backward. "When the truth is laid bare, when Zakdafane and Drizzt are captured and executed, or returned after final judgment, House Bayenri's folly will become apparent. Such an obvious blunder will reveal the displeasure of Lolth against that fool Matron Mother Quenthel, and that will inspire our allies to rise against Bayenri and finally be rid of that scourge house." Chari was too stunned and too intimidated to respond. Her fingers moved reflexively, and she had to interrupt the signing before she impulsively and unwittingly replied her belief that Matron Jindia was surely mad. "You do not believe me," Matron Jindia reasoned, and Chari began to consider defensive spells she might then enact to save herself. But Jindia Malarn remained quite composed and even relaxed back on her magical floating disk. "I do not blame you," she said calmly, "but you will see. You will understand the benefit of boldness when I deliver the stolen prize of Zakdafane and his son, and bring ruin to all that Drizzt has built on the surface, all that Jarlaxle has built on the surface." "Yes. Matron Mother Quenthel will howl at that, will she not?" Matron Jindia continued. But for Matron Shakti Hansaran, the fall of Brakendy Earth will prove a boon, yes? And you? You would like this, of course. You would like little more than to be rid of Brakendy Earth, so that House Hansaran becomes once more the undeniable leader of all trade beyond this cavern we call home.
It is ambitious, Jari stammered.
As all things should be, yet not so ambitious, I think. Rather, it is within our grasp, easily so.
How?
You have so much to learn. Weren't you just talking with that filthy human?
How, you ask?
Why, with a noble water Davian house and a demon-poisoned clan of warrior dwarfs. Point them at those who did such harm. Loose their demons upon our enemies, and I will send my retrievers and driders among them.
I just told...
You need to make the point more directly, Matron Jindia demanded. House Margaster should move all resources against them and now. Not against just the foolish halflings, and not even just the halflings in Brunner's kingdom.
Against who, Jarlaxle?
Yes. It is time to destroy his abominable city, to destroy the infernal halfling town, and to let the demons trap King Brunner in his hole. When he is imprisoned with no friends, we can then let our monsters multiply with their abyssal gates, to bring ever more catastrophe to their sides, eventually filling the halls of Gontalgrim thick with demon allies.
Matron, these are demons we discuss, not devils. When their rage is let free, they will not be corralled,
Jindia shrugged. Then let them run free and lay waste. What do we care? They will eventually be defeated. The humans alone have too much power in this region. But by the time they turn the tide, the beasts given me by a handmaiden, yes, by Escavidney herself, will have our prey, and Matron Mother Bayenri will answer for her heresy.
I will speak with Matron Shak, Chari started to say.
You will return to Inkeri Margaster at once, Matron Jindia demanded, or you will never return to Menzo Berenzon to face your matron again.
Chari's eyes widened.
I am a high priestess. You will be a dead high priestess, Matron Jindia promised. Beside her, Ildstrahn Milarn glared at his counterpart, who held up his hands in surrender, wanting no part of the Milarni house wizard.
View it this way, my dear Chari Hansaran, Matron Jindia explained. Your matron would have House Hansaran watch from afar, not wanting to invoke the wrath of Lolth or of Matron Mother Bayenri. This is understandable. Is not self-preservation the first tenet of the Spider Queen?
Chari just stared.
Self-preservation, Matron Jindia repeated. Keeping yourself alive. For how might you serve the Spider Queen if you forfeit your life over a foolish choice? And is not defying one who has promised your death if you do so an ultimately foolish choice?
Chari managed to nod her head just a bit. Then go now, child, growled Matron Jindia, who in truth was not much older than Chari Hansaran. The trebuchets are thick with fiery abyssal shot. Just tell them where to aim and make sure they pull the trigger.
Chari Hansaran didn't look back, nor did she hold any doubt whatsoever that her every word to Inkeri Margaster would again be heard quite clearly by the vicious Jindia Milarn.